Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today is the 14th of September. I almost forgot what month it was for a second. 14th of September, Eagles-Vikings about to kick off the third quarter. First week of NFL action underway. A lot of Colorado drama to talk about. Basketball's involved. We got a lot to talk about today.
We've often said that, you know, probably more October than September, but still September, October, November, probably the best time for sports.
A lot going on. Let's start with the trip to Seattle, because that'll kind of lead us into the – well, let's start with the FIBA World Cup, actually, because that'll be a quick one.
Yeah.
It's really just that the USA lost, and, like, within a couple days, LeBron started assembling the Avengers for the Olympics.
Yeah, this is
it's kind of a cycle.
Yeah, no, I am curious, just because I do think that with our A team, we're still talented enough to win in the Olympics, regardless of who anybody else sends. But we're getting to the point where I've brought up this analogy with the U.S. relay team in the 4x100, is we just, you know, we're the most talented, we're the fastest runners, we just drop the baton because we don't spend time practicing with each other. And at some point, we're going to get to the Olympics, and even though we bring our best team, we're just not going to have practiced together. And we're just going to lose an Olympics because the rest of the world will not have caught up to us talent-wise, but they've caught up close enough that we'll at least have to practice together.
Did Jalen Carter cause that?
I don't know. I'd have to see. It's sort of... Oh, I could. So there was just a fumble that I thought they were going to call back just because the Viking players didn't really look into it, but I guess they weren't really paying attention.
Yeah, the Eagles are just the defensive line at least is just dominating this game.
Yeah,
I think I forgot who it was. It was like a lower tier NBA player. Like, I don't even want to say the names because I don't remember who it was, but they're saying the United States should bring tryouts back because, like, everybody else, every other country, most other countries apparently have tryouts to be on the team.
I think I would much rather watch the tryouts for Team USA than the actual Olympics.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think it would be amazing, which is kind of why I don't think they're going to do it. I don't know. Like, I don't think NBA players would be thrilled for going to tryouts and then not making the team, especially because there would be players like LeBron who would say, hey, I'm not doing a tryout, or I'll do your little tryout, but I'm making the team no matter what. Right?
Wouldn't there be an aspect though of, like, you know, if you have to, like, really want it to be able to play for us or with us, you know?
No, I think it'd be great. I just don't think that they're gonna do it because I don't think that people like. I think Devin Booker would get offended when they're not going to make LeBron try out, whether or not he actually shows up to the tryout, and he is actually in a tryout to make the team.
You know, I think realistically, if, like, LeBron and Steph and KD are on the team, then the quote will, whatever, doesn't matter. But I think there should be some aspect of, like, these players are just getting picked. I think tryouts are unrealistic. You're right. But every other, like, apparently, and I don't know how international World Cup basketball team selection works in Germany and Serbia and stuff like that. But apparently all these other guys are, like, dying to be on the national team. And for the U.S., it's kind of like a chore.
Right. So, but, yeah, no, I do think that helped. And I think what they could say is, hey, you don't have to try out, but if you want to be considered for the Olympic team, you have to play in this many qualifiers. And the World Cup could count as those qualifiers or whatever. But you have to play in this many games for Team USA if we're going to consider you.
I think that'd be a good compromise. You can't just show up for the Olympics like yeah. Other people do the crappy trips, you know?
Right, for sure. Because, yeah. No, we still like, I mean, I know they don't call the North America for basketball CONCACAF. Well, maybe they do. What do I know?
I don't know.
No, and I don't want Damian Lillard to have to go to that necessarily, but, you know, I think if they made them go to some of these games, it would feel more real, and I think they would be more invested. But again, I'm not even super sure I think that's a problem. Like, I don't think Anthony Edwards lacked motivation. I think Austin Reeves was thrilled to be there. You know, I think that they just need to practice together as a team. We see this every year with these super teams that get put together, and there's some sort of a big trade, and then the teams only play together in 10 games, and then they lose in the second round of the NBA playoffs.
So you I guess your solution would kind of solve that problem.
Yeah, it would solve that problem too.
Yeah. Okay, so I was thinking it was a matter of care. You think it's just more a matter of cohesiveness, which makes sense.
I think it's both of those things probably.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, and again, I think this Olympics, I still think we probably win, you know, even if LeBron just rolls out of bed with Steph and KD. But I think we only got a couple more years of that. I think we got just a few more Olympics, and that's just not going to fly anymore.
Well, here's one thing, and this is longer than we plan on talking about it, but it's our show. So I've heard floated around, not by anyone real, it's kind of a suggestion that the basketball should do what soccer does, which is in the Olympics, they make it a U23 tournament, except you can have three senior players. That puts more of the emphasis on the World Cup. I think if that happened, I think if the Olympics were like, okay, it's an under-23 tournament, you can have like three over-23 guys. I just don't think we'd care about international basketball. I don't think the World Cup would get elevated like it would in soccer. That's, only it's ever going to happen.
That's kind of what I think. I think the only reason, well, I guess I'm speaking for me, but I feel like I'm watching Olympic basketball because I'm already watching the Olympics. I like the event of the world coming together for this huge event, which the World Cup is not really like. Honestly, even for soccer, even though it's probably a bigger event than the actual Olympics, it feels like there's not a, you know, there's not an opening ceremony where you have the swimmers and the track athletes and the horse riders and the rowers all together. There's something fun about the basketball players being involved in that, you know?
Like LeBron James and Shawn Johnson being on the same team
technically. Yeah, yeah, I think that's cool, and I think it's kind of charming, even if it is maybe a little bit corny, you know?
Yeah, because the World Cup is an established tournament. The FIBA World Cup, Basketball World Cup, is not an established tournament. Like, when I think of Olympics, I'm thinking of, like, the Dream Team with Michael and Magic and stuff like that, or the Redeem Team. I don't, it's not the basketball in and of itself, it's the like winning the gold medal. And you technically can do the same thing in the World Cup, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I just don't, yeah, I think it's going to be hard to get people to switch. I mean, well, especially the other thing is that I don't really think the NBA players care. Like, I think, like Anthony Edwards, I still think he's happy to be there, but I think he would much rather win an Olympic medal, you know? And I think until the World Cup has the same level of prestige for the players,
yeah,
it's not going to have it for the fans.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it would take for the World Cup to matter more for the players from a winning perspective. So, we'll see. Let's talk about Seattle and the NFL, shall we?
Yeah, so you were up in Seattle, and I've intentionally not asked you about it because I knew we were going to talk about it here.
Oh, that's smart. Also, we really don't see each other that much. We kind of have to schedule this time,
yeah,
to see each other. Seattle is fun. So Mount Rainier, 9.5 miles. So our buddy lives in Seattle. He's doing residency there. He texted me like, hey, you should come up. The Seahawks are playing Sunday. The Mariners are playing Monday. It's like, that's exactly how you get me to go on a trip. Great sales pitch. So I went up. He's like, oh, yeah, Mount Rainier's, we can go there Saturday. I was like, okay, I'd rather. My head's like, you know, University of Washington's playing that day, but I've already been to that stadium. Yeah. Mount Rainier's cool, whatever. So then, like, the week before I go, I was like, hey, how long is the hike we're doing? I'm thinking it'd be, like, 3 or 4 miles. He's like, 9.5. Just a long hike.
Yeah.
Very long hike. So that was a whole day, and our flight got delayed, so I didn't get into my bed in the Airbnb. And, like, I think it was Ashton, Washington or something like that. Like, kind of farm country. Beautiful. By the way,
sure.
You would love it.
Yeah, no.
Like the country part of Washington.
Yeah, I'm sad I missed it.
But yeah, the hike, got up at 6. So running like 5 hours of sleep, 9.5 miles. So it was me, my buddy's twin brother, who we're also friends with, and my friend's wife, who lives in Seattle. She's really outdoorsy hiker girl.
Uh-huh.
And she commented, She was like, I don't know how you, not in a upset way, was just kind of, you know, like passing. He's like, how can you talk about sports for 6 hours? Cause that's literally all we talked about, was just football.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yeah. Just like curiosity and wonder.
Yeah. Like literally, she was amazed. But I was talking to my friend. It's like, what do people talk about who aren't into sports?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, sports is, because I do like sports. I think you can be passionate about sports, but it's also a good, like, hey, we're here for 6.5 hours. You know, I can only, you know, pour out my, you know, hopes and dreams for about 30 minutes of that time. Yeah. So sports is kind of just a good way to fill the space.
Like, if you're talking about music, it's like, oh, yeah, I like that song. I like that song, too. Isn't that kind of the end of the conversation?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
you know?
Much.
Or, like, I don't know. Like, if you're talking about Oedipus Rex, yeah, I could go on for 5 or 10 minutes. Like,
sure.
Sports are super easy to talk about.
They are very easy to talk about, yeah. And there's, you know, debates. People can have sides. You can argue about it, but not really actually care that much, so nobody actually gets offended.
Yeah.
Now, I will say about Mount Rainier, I think they should have tipped you off that it was going to be 9.5 miles. Also, though,
I agree.
We've heard of Mount Rainier. You've seen pictures. You got to know that's longer than 3 miles.
Well, I didn't know we were doing the whole darn thing, basically. like we didn't hike to, like, the top of the volcano, but we literally did, like, the hike. I thought we were doing, like, a hike in the national park.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Not the hike.
Right.
So that was my bad. I should have asked before.
Yeah.
And I forgot my running shoes, so I had to hike in my Air Maxes. So, I mean, which was fine. Oh, Devonta Smith just got a touchdown.
Love me some Devonta Smith. See, Jay comes in here and say, oh, slow first half for the Eagles, and then they score 2 touchdowns in 5 minutes.
I didn't say slow second half. I said slow first half. They did start slow. They couldn't, like, the Vikings kept turning the ball over, and the Eagles kept punting it right back to them.
Yeah, well. So that's nice. It's always nice to score 13 points, hopefully 14 points in that short amount of time.
Well, I had the Eagles -6.5, so I'm feeling great right now as well.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Jalen Hurts, how he's like in a full-on squat position when he's taking a snap from Jason Kelce.
Yeah. I need to go listen to this podcast because I always see the YouTube clips and they're really good. But there was one clip I saw about how Jalen Hurts hates the way that Jason Kelce snaps the ball. And he's like, yeah, every quarterback hates the way that I snap the ball. And he just hasn't changed it.
I mean, it works. You know what I mean? Like, Jason Kelsey's the one who has a 320-pound nose tackle on top of him. So I feel like he should get a little deference.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's definitely fair. But yeah, man. Devonta Smith. I was not happy when they picked Devonta Smith or Jalen Hurts for that matter, honestly. So it's worked out great.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, man. Everyone, including us, especially you, but I think anyone in general, was like, Jalen Hurts is an awesome guy, good college quarterback, has too many, you know, accuracy passing issues to be a successful NFL quarterback. And talk about improvement, just going to work, getting better. I don't think he gets enough credit for it. I think we talked about it the 1 year and then just like, oh, yeah, he's always been awesome.
Yeah, he's an MVP candidate. And so we just need to, yeah, no, it is very remarkable. Like, yes, yeah, like comparable to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson obviously had a higher height than I think Jalen Hurts has ever been at. But, yeah, and he's, you know, and he stayed healthy for the most part. So it's been, yeah, really, really impressive transition.
I think, and I feel the same about Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson, that, like, first season, that playoff game, especially against the Chargers, so bad. One of the worst performances ever. Then I think it was the next year he came out, won the MVP. I thought he should have won Most Improved Player as well.
Yeah.
Like, people don't give enough credit for the improvement that these players are making.
Yeah.
And it deserves so. Absolutely. Because not everyone makes improvements.
Yeah. And speaking of quarterbacks who not necessarily improved but have beaten expectations, last week we talked about whether or not Brock Purdy was a top 10 NFL quarterback.
I was so happy.
I've seen a lot of people talking about him being a top 5 NFL quarterback this week.
I was watching the Niners game in a fried chicken place with awesome burrito, by the way. They put, like, hollandaise sauce on the chicken burrito.
That sounds
good.
With,
like, eggs and potatoes and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It was, like, a lemony hollandaise sauce.
Yeah.
It was really good.
That sounds good.
So I'm watching it. Everyone's wearing Seahawks or Rams jerseys because the Seahawks were playing the Rams. And I didn't wear Niners stuff because I have firm belief you shouldn't wear a third-party jersey to a sporting event.
Agree.
But Man, I was just losing my mind. We just beat the crap out of the Steelers. Brock Purdy, here's the thing. If you just look at a box score, it doesn't look that much different. It does look different, but not, like, extremely different to Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you actually watch Jimmy play, and then you watch some of the plays Brock can make, spinning out of pressure, avoiding rushers, extending the play, rushing, like, creating plays on his own, Jimmy couldn't do any of that. And Brock can do it, all of that. And people say it's the system, you know. I didn't want to give Jimmy credit for wins as a quarterback because he happened to be on the 49ers. So I don't think Brock should get credit for being undefeated in and of itself. But if you actually watch him play, he's executing the system flawlessly. Flawlessly is a stretch, but you know how happy Brock Purdy is. Literally, no sports athlete has ever made me happier than Brock Purdy, just because I had to watch so much garbage football from the 49ers my entire life. And then Brock Purdy comes along, and I think we actually have a real quarterback now.
It's nice to have a real quarterback.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles, they have had a couple of rough years, but, you know, like, I did like Nick Foles. Carson Wentz was, you know, he was good when he was Carson Wentz, you know. And so I felt like we've actually had good quarterbacks for the last 10 years or so, for the most part, for 90% of the time. So I'm glad you've joined the club.
Well, we're looking at the NFC, and this is not new, but I think everyone thought it was going to be the Niners and the Eagles again. Other teams that could have been in play, maybe the Vikings, who lost to the Buccaneers and getting their butts kicked now by the Eagles. Lions beat Kansas City. Eagles looked bad against the Rams. I think that was a fluke, even though watching Matthew Stafford live, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because we were in the end zone. We were in the Hawks nest, so I saw that, like, his back to us throwing forward view.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, watching him, like, create throwing angles or, like, throw across, like, two defenders, like, and have the receiver run into that. I've always said Patrick Peterson's the best football player I've ever seen live, but I think that might have been the best quarterback performance I've seen live in my life.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, is Matthew Stafford the most underrated quarterback in the NFL because he was on the Lions for so long?
I think so. I've always loved Stafford. I think he has the most natural arm talent. I'm going to venture to say the history of the NFL. I've like, dove into Joe Namath or Johnny Unitas tape, but Matthew Stafford, just from a pure arm talent perspective, ever since Georgia, as good as there's ever been, I think more than Patrick Mahomes from an arm talent perspective. But also, he doesn't get credit for his ability to, again, like, check at the line of scrimmage, like, listening to him, and every professional quarterback can do this, but I think he's a super smart player as far as what to check into, what to check out of, making sure the offense is in the right play, understanding defenses, throwing into windows or, like, into these lanes. Like, he just does so much so well. And you saw the first year, not in Detroit, he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah, had a good team around him, obviously.
But I don't think he's ever been the best quarterback, but I think, yeah, definitely underrated for sure.
It's crazy that they had him and Calvin Johnson and just could not figure the rest of it out.
Well, the Angels, who I saw beat the Mariners, have, and these two didn't play, but have Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth on their team, and they can't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I know baseball is a completely different sport, but it's kind of sad when these terrible franchises get these all-time players.
But it is, with baseball, it would almost be more than football, because football, there's so much that can happen. I mean, we just talked about a receiver and a quarterback, and so, you know, the defense can still screw that up for you. With baseball, it should, like, they'd have to screw it up so bad for, because I feel like one of them is going to hit a touchdown or a home run 2 out of every 3 games.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah, I don't know. It's almost crazier with baseball, but I don't know if it actually is. So yeah, Eagles just blew a huge, gave up like a 60-yard pass, which is annoying, which is what happens when you don't draft cornerbacks and then James Bradbury gets hurt. But
dude, Jordan Addison is good, though. Let's chat. Jordan Addison, fantastic at Pittsburgh. Good at USC, but in a little bit of a different role. 155, I believe, at the combine was from weight, so I think he kind of got pushed down a tiny bit, but he's a fantastic receiver. With him and Justin Jefferson, that's in the top five of tandems in the NFL. I'd have to think off the top of my head. I think Cincinnati's number one and Philly's number two. I think Philly or Minnesota's probably three, though, as far as top two receivers.
That's high praise for a rookie.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And I mean, a big part of that is Justin Jefferson's on the other side as well.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I love Jordan Addison. But yeah, in the NFC, I think Detroit's the third best team. I still think Seattle's going to make the wild card. But I don't think anyone in the NFC South is good. The Packers actually looked pretty good. But I think the whole NFC North will just kind of beat each other up. I think the Lions are the best team there. I think Atlanta's going to win the NFC South. And I think San Francisco and Philly are on a collision course.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. Because it was, you know, I mean, worked out for me, obviously. But it was disappointing to not get a real shot from the 49ers because Brock Purdy got hurt. So
yeah,
so that would be fun to, you know, see the best against the best. So hopefully that works out.
Let me look up because they play in the regular season. Let me pull that up.
Okay.
So that is week. It doesn't say the week, but it's December 3rd. How is that not a primetime game?
Yeah, that seems.
How would that not be?
That seems crazy. Game? Yeah, maybe. Did you say 13?
The 3rd.
Oh, the 3rd.
Yeah, okay. December 3rd.
Oh, December 3rd. Okay. Well, I don't know. That's late in the season. They might be able to flex it in, but.
Yeah, maybe it will be flexed.
It seems weird that they didn't see that in immediate. Like, I can't think of a better game. I mean, those are two of the best four teams in the NFL.
Unless, like, Kansas City and Cincinnati's that same week.
Right, yeah. I can't think of what else people would want to see.
Speaking of Kansas City, if we go to the AFC, they lost to Detroit. I'm not particularly worried about them. I think Jacksonville, though, I'm kind of thinking them like, hey, they might be a dark horse. I think Kansas City should be the favorite. I picked Cincinnati. Told you Josh Allen was turnover prone. Should we talk about? We didn't even talk about that or the Jets game.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, mention.
I've said like I'm concerned about Josh Allen's turnovers. He had four of them. He's just reckless with the ball. Now, Dominique Foxworth at ESPN talked about, you know, if you're Superman, there's sometimes you got to, you know, put people in harm's way in the sense like you got to take some chances and you're not going to get all of them. So it's like throwing the ball downfield, tight game, maybe a pick, that's understandable. But if it's like first and 10 or if you're like 5 yards before the first down line, like you don't need to be trying to hurdle people or like being reckless with the ball.
Right, definitely.
It's just his inability to recognize like the threat level or like the importance of, you know, when to take a risk, when not to take a risk, and like danger assessment basically.
Right.
That's his problem.
Yeah.
And it's one thing, like Patrick Mahomes does a ton of crazy stuff, but he doesn't make stupid turnovers.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I saw now I feel like I'm gonna butcher it. But I saw this Bomani tweet that I thought was really good that is like, it is harder for people to see Josh Allen's turnover problems now that he's good than it was before, and it should kind of be the opposite where people expect him to be good and he's throwing all these turnovers and we're just giving him more of a pass than when he was a rookie.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make sense. Like, I think that's going to hold Buffalo back in addition to their, like, we talked before the season started about how this is like the last year the Eagles maximizing their roster. Buffalo's a year or two into that already.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, should we talk about the Jets? Like, man, what a rough life that must be.
Yeah, just the most.
Four plays in. Did you see? I'm sure you've seen this, but there's a fantasy football guy who lost his game. He needed, like, Aaron Rodgers to throw, like, 8 yards or something like that.
That's hilarious.
Or there's a DraftKings. I think it was DraftKings, but one of those, like, sports book things. And it was, like, a free prop. It was, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, over under a yard passing. And all those people lost that bet.
That's funny. Yeah, I saw the I'm sure you saw this, but there's a bar in Wisconsin that offered free drinks if the Jets lost because of Aaron Rodgers. And then he got hurt and he was out for the game, so everybody was getting these huge tabs because they didn't think there was any way that the Jets were going to win. And then they obviously win in overtime, so everybody's got these like $200, $300 tabs.
Man, that literally like tens of thousands of dollars at least that bar made that
night. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
What a gamble. What a gamble.
Yeah, what a promotion for them though.
No, yeah, obviously the Jets are screwed though. Like, unless Zach Wilson became a different quarterback without getting any first team reps in the offseason.
Yeah.
Jets are hosed. The Bills still good and I think should still be the favorite. But, and I mentioned this before, but Miami, They're dark horse. They're a real threat. They look dangerous in that Chargers game.
They do look good, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if, especially, you know, the Jets are out of the picture, I think, so it's just Miami and Buffalo. I think Miami has a real shot to win that division.
That, yeah, I mean, Buffalo would really have to do a lot worse than people have expected, which is possible. I think
Miami's going to be better than people think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think they will too. But yeah, that would be, you know, compared to what we thought at the beginning of the season, I still think that'd be quite a shock.
You're still in on Buffalo?
No, I mean, I definitely lost confidence after this first week.
You got to be able to close that game out. They lose their quarterback. Their whole offseason was like, oh, we finally got Aaron Rodgers. We finally got our guy. Like, that sideline has to be so deflated, and you can't close that game out.
Right. No, it's definitely concerning. I just feel like, you know, I'm going to give him, you know, 4 weeks at least. I feel like you got to give him 4 weeks to really see. But
definitely
a lot of concerning signs.
I don't think my opinion changed on him. I just was way lower on him than you to begin with.
Sure, yeah.
But they don't. That's a clear lack of killer instinct. If they can't, you know what I mean, put the Jets away with Zach Wilson.
Right, absolutely.
Zach Wilson, who got no reps, no practice reps that week. I know he's been in the offense, but.
Well, because, yeah, I was going to say he had a pretty good passer rating in this game. So.
Well, I was watching the game while I was at the Mariners game, so I wasn't intently tuned in on it, but it looked like they weren't letting him throw it further than 10 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was true or not, but, yeah, I mean, hey, you're playing the Cowboys next week, who made the Giants look like a junior varsity team. I think that's more – that just kind of snowballed. I don't think the Cowboys are that good, and I don't think the Giants are that bad.
Man, yeah, was that a – what a game that would have been. The New York, that huge market against Dallas, one of the most popular teams in America. Aaron Rodgers versus Mike McCarthy. So what a letdown for the NFL.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been fun. I would have watched that.
Cheering for the Jets, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think the Cowboys will be good, but with McCarthy, there's only so much of a ceiling, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention them as contenders in the NFCs because I honestly forgot about them. They'll maybe make the wild card, probably make the wild card. Well, the defense is good.
Well, I was going to say, they'll make the playoffs and lose in the first round like they always do.
Yeah.
I think they'll do that.
Let's talk about the Colorado drama with Colorado State, because that leads into my top five, my five picks of the week for college football.
Right.
Did you see what I'm talking about?
I did see what you're talking about, and I have some thoughts.
Okay, well, I'll explain it, and then we'll go straight into your thoughts. So Colorado State coach Jay Norvell, something in an interview, but he, like, took his hat and his sunglasses off, and he was like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, you know, my mom taught me when I'm talking to an adult to take my hat and my sunglasses off, and in reference, obviously, to Deion Sanders.
And right.
I'll let you take over from here. It sounds like you're pretty opinionated on this.
Well, I was just gonna say, doesn't this feel like a boxing match from like the 80s, where there'd be all of this trash talk before the fight? It feels like Colorado State is like, I want to get people to watch this game, so I'm gonna say some stuff. It feels like that's been happening, but weirdly with other coaches, you would think Deion would be the one doing the trash talk just because of his reputation, but it seems like other people have been criticizing him, and he's responded to that. But for the most part, he's been kind of quiet compared to the other coaches.
I can't think of a time he's proactively brought something up.
No, yeah. So it's just weird that, yeah, all these people are attacking him, going after him, and I don't know. It feels like they're doing it more for publicity than, like, because he has to know this Colorado State coach, whose name I don't even know.
Jay Norvell.
He has to know what people are going to talk about with this, right? He's definitely doing it on purpose.
Well, why would you want to piss them off?
I don't.
They're clearly better than you. You're a bad Mountain West team. They've been dominant. They weren't dominant against a Brad. I don't know. The Nebraska game was weird because even though they played a bad game, they still no doubt that they were going to win that game, you know?
Yeah.
Fantastic against TCU, who I still think is a good team. I didn't have them in my top 25 at the beginning of the year, but I still think it's a good team. They're going to beat them by 40. Like, I think Deion, like, they got a clip of him talking in practice. Like, it was just going to be a nice, you know, fun game, battle for Colorado. And now they made it personal. Like, they're going to play pissed off.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, and maybe this is another part of it, but I would imagine even within Colorado, the Colorado State rivalry has got to be bottom 10 football rivalries in terms of intensity and hatred among the fans.
Well, neither team is that good.
Right. Yeah, neither team is that good. But despite that, Colorado has been much better than Colorado State. So, like, why are people going to care?
What's Colorado State's best season ever? Like, I can't even think of a time they've, like, been in the top 25.
I don't know. I know they – I feel like they had, like, a good quarterback that surprised me or something.
Like back in the day?
Yeah, like a long time ago, like before we were born.
That'd be interesting. What's the, like, least interesting in-state rivalry? Because some don't even exist. Like, I guess Penn State and Pitt. So that does, I was thinking Penn and Penn State. But West Virginia doesn't have an in-state rival.
Yeah, and you have to, like, not count, like, Rhode Island or...
Where there's
Connecticut or whatever.
It seems like Georgia Tech is pretty one-sided, but those people still care about it, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, Georgia Tech's fan base is so interesting to me. Do you think it's anybody besides Georgia Tech alumni?
Because
if you're
know.
From Georgia, why... I mean, Calvin Johnson went there, but, like, why would you cheer for Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I don't have any idea. I mean, it's in Atlanta, so that helps. Okay, I'm looking up these Colorado State people, and I'm not recognizing anybody. Jack Christensen, Joey Porter.
Joey Porter went there.
Is that who's that?
He played for the Steelers. His son is the guy who got drafted by the Steelers. He was a linebacker.
Oh, that sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim David, which is a name that a fourth grader would make up. Dave Dudrill, Lawrence McCutcheon. So. I guess I just made that up that there was a really good player that went to.
I mean Joey Porter's fine, yeah. Yeah, but. I don't know how good he was in college, but he was good in the NFL.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, that probably is. Off the top of my head, that's the worst one.
Yeah, I mean.
Because some states, like Nebraska, doesn't have one.
Wyoming doesn't have one.
Montana State is intense.
Yeah.
Because that's the same level. Like, they're both FCS, same conference.
Right. I feel like. Can we count North Dakota State, South Dakota State as an in-state rivalry?
Yeah, sure.
Despite the fact that they're different states.
UNLV, Nevada, I don't know how many people get up for that game. But they're the same conference still, so they're playing for something.
Yeah, so that is something. So, yeah, I don't know. I bet people in Vegas go to that game when it happens.
Well, definitely Reno, probably, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Reno. You know what's weird? Reno's actually a nice campus. Reno sucks, but the University of Nevada, Reno's actually, like, a nice campus.
That's interesting. Yeah. I've never been. I remember the only football memory I have of them is them beating Boise State in one of their undefeated years. And I believe Colin Kaepernick was a quarterback at the time?
Yeah, Kaepernick was a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well... Let's get to the top my picks, because I had Colorado minus 23.5. I actually had Georgia before, but I flipped it out after that Jay Norvell comment from Colorado State.
Oh, okay, nice.
So Colorado minus 23.5, Kansas State minus 3.5. Why are they not favored by more against Missouri?
I don't know.
It's honestly one that seems like a trap, but I'm going for it.
Yeah, because it's been a sec since Missouri's been good. Like, they have been good at football, but I feel like I haven't heard about them in a few years.
They have a really good receiver, wonderful uniforms,
and that's it. Yeah. Well, they had, receivers is what I know. Shout out to Jeremy Macklin, great Eagles receiver for a long time.
Oh, yeah, he was cool.
Anyway, guys, so yeah, Kansas State, I think that's a good one.
And then Arkansas, -7.5. They're playing our alma mater, BYU. I just think, like, when BYU plays, like, those top teams, remember the Florida State game when we were in high school and they just, like, ran all over us?
Yeah.
Like, I just think BYU, when they play more physical talent, it shows.
Well, I think, yeah, and I mean, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, and this might be a little reductive. I feel like BYU plays pretty good against power, and I think we do well there. I think speed has really, really been the problem for BYU.
Yeah, I mean, I think Arkansas has both.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I'm not picking BYU to win, and I'm honestly, you know, not very excited about what I've seen against SUU and certainly against Sam Houston.
Like, I would turn off the Sam Houston State game. Yeah. I was so annoyed.
I mean, yeah, we really should be playing better against those teams if we are going to have to go into, because it's in Arkansas.
It's in Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be.
And last year, Arkansas beat BYU by like 20 or 30. KJ Jefferson, I think, is the best quarterback in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
So, now they do have Rocket Sanders not in the game, but I still think they're going to be fine.
Right. So, yeah, no,
I'd love to be wrong, but I'm picking Arkansas -7.5.
I think that's fair.
Now, here's the next one. Tell me what you think of this one. Western Kentucky +28.5 against Ohio State. So that means they just have to lose by 4 touchdowns or less
against which,
Ohio State.
Against Ohio State.
Here's why. Western Kentucky, one of the best offenses of quarterback, one of the best offenses in the country, Austin Reed, fantastic quarterback, could have gone like transferred Power 5, could have changed. Like he'll get drafted in the NFL. They score so much. Now even if Ohio State picks it up, they haven't looked good the first couple weeks. Even if they pick it up, I think Western Kentucky is going to score enough where, even if Ohio State drops 60, Western Kentucky can get to, I think it'd be 22. They have to get to in that scenario.
So it's like 38 points.
28.
Okay, so it'd be 32.
So I guess they'd have to be 32, but I don't think Ohio State's getting 60.
Yeah, 60's a ton. 60's so much.
Like, I think Western Kentucky can just score enough where they're not going to lose by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Even though I don't expect it to be a close game, but that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that's a reasonable pick.
Okay. And then last one, I'm blanking a little bit, actually. So it was, Fresno State -3 against Arizona State. Fresno State already knocked off Purdue. Arizona State looked bad against SEU. I know there was a rain delay. Lost to Oklahoma State last week, who was one of the biggest transfer portal losers in the country. I think Fresno State's a good program. Like, kind of like Boise, like they've not had the top seasons Boise State had as far as Fiesta Bowl stuff, but I think they're as good as Boise State in the Mountain West last few years.
Yeah, they've had good players. They've got a couple people in the NFL right now.
Yeah. So I like Fresno State to win by 3 in that game. So Colorado -23.5, Arkansas -7.5, Kansas State -3.5, Western Kentucky +28.5, and then Fresno State -3.
Nice.
Are my picks.
Those sound like good picks.
I'm excited.
Cool.
I'm 6-4 in the season so far, for those keeping track at home.
Awesome. Now, really quick, before we do the top 5, I meant to tell this story about at the beginning of the podcast, but I know we both love Jesse Owens, and I've got a relevant
the coolest thing. Athlete of all time.
Absolutely, love Jesse Owens. So, for my 9th grade students, they're going to read a book called Boys in the Boat. It's about a rowing team in the 1936 Olympics.
Great book.
So, yeah, good book. So, I showed the kids a documentary about how the Nazis use the 1936 Olympics sort of propaganda, and obviously the documentary talks a lot about Jesse Owens. And then at the end, it talks about how Jesse Owens wasn't able to really get a job, and so he comes back to the United States, he pumps gas and stuff. And so at the end, the kids are like, wait a minute, how come he just didn't run more races? And I was like, well, he was an amateur athlete, and so they wouldn't let him get paid. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, at that time, they didn't really have professional athletes. And I was like, why not? And I was like, well, I guess they thought that it was uncouth or it wasn't very nice. And they're like, well, why not? And I was like, they just had no concept for amateur athletics, which, to be fair, it's a ridiculous idea. But just trying to explain to them that Jesse Owens was pumping gas when he came back from the Olympics was just, they couldn't comprehend it.
Did you get to that? You, like, couldn't go to the White House and stuff like that? Or do you think that would have been too much for them to handle?
No, we didn't get to that because the documentary didn't talk about that. And I'm trying to show them the race movie, which is like the kind of a Hollywood Jesse Owens style movie. But I think we'll show them that at the end of the unit. Okay. And so we can talk about it there. And also, like, I'm going to talk about Jesse Owens as much as possible, but it's not actually a book about Jesse Owens, so. But it is.
Yeah, it's about a bunch of white people from Washington.
Yeah, right. It is. Well, and it's also funny because there's another teacher who teaches the same class. We're trying to coordinate, and all of her historical context she's given to her students has been about the Great Depression, and I've only talked about the Olympics. So
sounds about right.
Yeah. That's such a good time.
Jesse Owens is the man.
He is the man. Yeah, we'll have to. Coolest athletes would be a fun top five or something.
I think we did that one time. We can revisit it, but it was like Jesse. For me, it was like Bo Jackson, Dion, Jesse Owens. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right, actually.
We can do it again. Yeah. Like, this top five thing's kind of hard. Got to come up with some good stuff.
Yeah. Well, like, you've been doing this long?
This one, any more Jesse Owens stuff? Don't want to cut that
off. No, I think that was it.
Well, this one I came up with right on the spot, so it might be an incorrect list. Feel free to correct me. It was just top five best sports cities. Now, it's very subjective. I was going for, like, you know, passionate about your sports teams, winning sports teams to some extent, but kind of just sports vibes, passion, things like that.
Yeah. Now, are we sticking to the U.S. or are we going worldwide?
I stuck to the U.S.
Okay, cool.
And also professional. Like, I didn't put Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge in there. Baton Rouge would probably be number one.
Yes.
Okay. So I just did professional sports. College sports would probably be a good one as well.
Yeah, college would be fun, yeah.
So it's just U.S. professional sports cities. Number five, put New York.
Yeah.
Four, Boston. Three, Seattle. Now, this might be recency bias, but those people love the Seahawks and love the Mariners. Mm-hmm. All, like, in the city, everyone's wearing jerseys. Even on the Mariners game, but especially the Seahawks game, jerseys all over the city. Best stadium in the NFL, as far as, like, what writers have voted on.
Uh-huh.
Super loud. So, as far as, like passion and getting into it, Seattle's up there.
For sure, yeah.
No. I will stand to be corrected on it, but I put Seattle at three.
Okay.
Two, Philadelphia.
Okay.
Second in every sport last year, I think.
Yeah, I think. Except not the Rocky. Flyers, but everything else.
And then Pittsburgh, I put number one.
Pittsburgh, number one.
Yeah, I think, you know, they got the black and yellow. They don't have anything to do there but wear a jacket and watch the Steelers or the Penguins or the Pirates or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It is nice that all the teams have a theme. I do like that.
Yeah, and what I realize is Pennsylvania, you know, they're all in.
Yes. Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely a sports state, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I didn't want to put LA for obvious reasons. Kind of just whatever's going on. Same thing with Miami. Miami's just a big event town. It's not a sports town.
Yes.
Atlanta, the Falcons aren't very good. The Hawks aren't, like, the Braves are good, but, like, their sports aren't very good.
Right.
San Francisco, I couldn't put in there. There weren't a lot of cities that I, like, felt good about putting in there. If you want to put New York or Boston higher, I'll get that. But
yeah, well, I'm kind of surprised you didn't put San Francisco in. Although, I think as far as sports towns, it's really a San Francisco Giants town. And, you know, I just say this, we've visited there basically every summer our entire lives. I didn't see a single Warriors jersey until 2015, I think. So
they
I don't know
like
if that's where
Warriors
you're coming
now.
From. Yeah,
they're
sure.
They're into the Warriors now. I agree with you, though.
Right. And then
they love the Giants, though.
Yeah, love the Giants. It would be now, would your rankings be higher if the 49ers actually played in San Francisco still?
Probably, honestly. And I didn't want to put, like, recency bias. And the problem with, like, California in general, like the West Coast, there's so much to do. I like comparing it to Seattle, for example. Seattle's a little bit of a smaller city, still a massive city. It's just like all about the Seahawks. And in San Francisco, it's big Giants. But just being in San Francisco back in the day compared to now, there's just not as much hype about the Niners, even as good as they are.
Right.
Like if you go into a bar, you see a bunch of Giants stuff. And you'll see like a you know Joe Montana poster once in a while. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's sad. Jed York kind of took that away from San Francisco. Touchdown Philadelphia might get called back for a penalty. So yeah, San Francisco I definitely considered because like they get in the Giants, they love the Giants for sure. But I didn't want to. Part of it is just I you know didn't want to be a biased fan.
Yeah, no, I think San Francisco deserves to be in there.
They're into it for sure.
I think
and they are into the Warriors. Like, for sure before 2015 it wasn't as much.
Yeah, but I think people. And I think the Warriors, it's possible they've kind of, you know, filled the void that the Niners left, which is kind of depressing.
Yeah, I would put the Warriors ahead of the Niners as far as just kind of average person in San Francisco.
Right.
What are you a fan of?
Which is a bummer because now the Niners are as good, if not better, than the Warriors. But it's just, you know, they're far and they had so many bad years that it's a bummer that people have fallen out of love with the team because it's one of the, you know, most important teams in the NFL.
It is. No, well, I mean, all the tech money, like I said, there's just so much to do. They don't really care about football.
Yeah.
So moving to Santa Clara, who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's dumb.
Anyway.
I don't like Jed York, but I love the 49ers. So that's the show this week. It's nice to be back. Next week, there will be a lot to talk about. Next week is Chilean Independence Day on Monday. So celebrate accordingly. We'll be watching Monday Night Football while we make Chilean food. Hope everybody has a good week. If you haven't done so, feel free to subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. Check out the TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, all that stuff, @MJDoubleTake. We'll talk to you guys next week.